Church this morning. We'd ask that you please bow your head for our invocation this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this beautiful morning, for being allowed to be here to worship in your word and to hopefully feel your spirit. We would ask that you prepare our hearts and our minds to receive your word and your love this morning. In your name we pray. Amen.
I see the stars.
Before we do the affirmation of faith, I tell you what, our call to worship and the music and the choir and the congregation, that how can your heart not be ready to worship our great God this morning? If you would please remain standing for the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty,
maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Be seated. We come to the part of our worship, our prayer of thanksgivings and pardons this morning. And I know y'all have had a change of sort of in your worship service. So I would like to ask that you really focus in on what's weighing heavy on your heart, issues that are on your life. We'll spend just a couple of minutes in your silent prayers. And then I'll have a prayer and we'll end with the Lord's Prayer. So let us all bow our heads at this time for our prayer of thanksgiving and pardon. Our dear Heavenly Father, truly, truly, how great You are. I know so often we get caught up in this day and time and the hustle and bustle, especially of the coming season, and it's so easy to lose our focus. Dear Lord, we would ask that You know how thankful we are for our veterans. We recently celebrated Veterans Day. For those who have served, those currently serving, for those who have given their all, that we have the freedom to attend any church, to say what we want, to worship freely, to have the joy and the freedoms that we have. Thank You so much for our veterans. We ask that You be with Christians worldwide, especially those in Paris, the terrible tragedy that they experienced, those families, that city, that country. Lord, now more than ever, We need to truly, truly seek to have you in our heart, to spread the good word of what awaits. Fill the world with love. There's so much hatred. Please fill our hearts as we go forward today into this coming week. And let us be an example. Let us be a shining light to those we come in contact with, that people know we truly have Jesus in our heart, and that we can magnify how great you are. Dear Lord, we ask all of this and all of our prayers that we lifted up in your holy name as we pray the prayer your disciples, you taught your disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us today our daily bread. Forgive us of our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Heaven came down and glory
the children come forward at this time. We need to make sure we stay between the two yellow pieces of paper because we're on camera. That is a pretty dress. What do you have this morning? You've got a Spider-Man jacket on. And a school bus. Oh, goodness. You going to sit down right here? Okay. Let's make sure we are all between the... You want to slide on this side of the... So they'll get you on camera. There we go. I tell you what, I'm taking up a lot of room. Let me get up so y'all can sit here. How about that? You want to squeeze in? All right, we got to squeeze. Now we got to slide this way. Everybody, because that was... There you go. Scoot just a little bit. See, and I'm doing the same thing. I'm looking at the screen, too. You said the kids were bad. I'm trying to see. Man, this is a big group this morning. That is fantastic. You know, we're so pretty. And I know I've told you I've done it before. The acolytes, I tell you what, that is hard to do to light all five candles. I always was so nervous when I had to do that in my church. But this is an exciting time because I think all of you all, especially this time of year, what's going to happen in about one more week? Y'all may not be thinking the same thing I am. Because remember, what'd you say? Thanksgiving. What even happens before that? We only have one more, 5 full days of school, and then Monday. Then we get out. 3 days. And y'all were right. It's Thanksgiving. And we'll see it in the papers, and you see it on signs. Thanksgiving comes one time a year for us. And I am thankful for a lot of things. And I don't know you all that well, so I wanted to ask each of you all what you're thankful for in your life. Because this is the time of year where we really think about it and we tell others how thankful we are. So why don't you start us off? Tell me something you're thankful for. What? Dogs. Yes, you and me both. Dog. You must have a dog at home. 4 dogs. Okay, yes. How about you? Your parents, that's always good. Dogs and your parents are good to be thankful for. What are you thankful for, Abe?
Mommy.
Mom? Nani. Is that you, Terry? Yeah. Oh, okay. Nani, okay. All right. And how about you? What are you thankful for? Your mommy and daddy. That's something very good to be thankful for. You're up next. Your family, yes. Cats. Okay. How many cats do you have at home? 6 cats. My goodness. Oh, my goodness. And how about you? Your family, yes. We're truly lucky. Everything you all mentioned, and like I said, adults a lot of times, we get real busy and we're involved with school and work, and we sometimes forget to slow down and be thankful. So that's what's so important to do on Thanksgiving, and especially every day of the year. Be thankful for everything that God has given us. So can we have a short prayer together? Dear Lord, we would ask that you always help us to remember in our heart to be thankful for everything we have, from Nana, from cats, from dogs, from our family, everything that we have in our life, not just on Thanksgiving, but each and every day. In your name we pray, amen. Yes. All right, keep me on task, Terry. We are on our scripture lesson, right? Is that right? Okay. Our scripture lesson this morning was not, it wasn't printed in a bulletin. I hope Wanda got it. I don't know if it's going to be on the screen, but it comes from the book of John, chapters 14, verses 1 through 3. And if it doesn't pop up, that's okay. You can follow along if you have these Bibles in your pew. It's found on page 827 in the New Testament. And again, it's John chapter 14, verses 1 through 3. Do not be troubled. You trust God now, so trust in me. There are many rooms in my Father's home, and I am going to prepare a place for you. If this were not so, I would tell you plainly, When everything is ready, I will come and get you so that you will always be with me where I am.
Stormy Banks.
Be seated. Can I borrow your music stand, Terry? So I don't. Okay, thank you. Once again, I'd like to welcome each and every one of you to Rockwood United Methodist Church this morning. If you can tell by the our hymns that we've already had this morning, the title of my message this morning is Aiming High, and it all has to do around heaven. Man arrives at the gates of heaven. He's greeted by St. Peter. St. Peter asks, denomination. The man responds, of course, Methodist. St. Peter checks his list and tells the man, you need to go to room number 24, but be very, very quiet as you pass room number 8. Another man soon arrives, and St. Peter asks the same question, denomination. The man responds, Lutheran. St. Peter tells him to go to room number 18, but be very, very quiet as you pass room number 8. Shortly thereafter, a third man arrives, and again, St. Peter asks the same question, denomination. The man responds, Presbyterian. Go to room number 11, but be very quiet as you pass room number 8, St. Peter responds. Presbyterian looks at St. Peter and says, I can understand there being different rooms for different denominations, but why must I be so quiet when I pass room number 8? St. Peter looks at him and says, well, the Baptists are in room number 8, and they think they're the only ones here. So, of course, when I speak in a Baptist church, I do change that around. I always put Methodist, but but how often do you think about heaven? Probably, if you're like me, we don't think about it very often. If we do, it's in a fleeting glimpse. And It's just something we don't think about that often. You know, that's probably our eternal destination. That's where we want to end up. Years ago, when I lived in Georgia, it was typical. I would come in on a Friday afternoon. Then I would head back early on a Sunday morning. I always try and pick up a church service on the way back. And probably about 12, 14 years ago, back Cleveland, I picked up this preacher. And the first part of it was, I heard him say, he said, you know, too often you hear ministers talk about what hell is like, what's going to get you into hell, and why do you need to stay out of hell? And the minister, whose name was Randy Alcorn, a Baptist minister, he said, we don't have enough sermons, we don't have enough things in our world that talk about how fantastic heaven is. And so he wrote a book, and it's entitled simply Heaven. I purchased the book and I read it, and it's good. It's not one that has to go from front cover to back. It covers everything. And when my father passed away about 7 years ago, this gave me more peace in my heart because I knew exactly what my dad was is experiencing. I have no doubts in my mind. My dad's in heaven, and many others that I have loved and have since gone on. And this is one fantastic book. So it weighed heavy on me. I get really interested in this, and I thought, I really want to speak on this. And I hope, again, I've told you before, I don't ever say I'm a preacher. I'm just bringing forth a message. I hope this might spark a little bit of interest in your personal life, that you might do a little extra research into what heaven, what awaits all of us that have Jesus in his heart. You know, what do you picture heaven? Is it eternal life? Are we floating on clouds when we get there? Is there unending singing hymns? And as beautiful it was this morning, that would not be a bad thing. Fantastic job. Is it forever and ever, like Randy Travis says, and amen? Isaac Asimov, who's a famous writer, wrote, whatever the tortures of hell, I think the boredom of heaven would be even worse. And is that not terrible to think that somebody thinks heaven is going to be boring? How often do you think about heaven? How much have you studied about heaven? Heaven is a place that we should all be excited about. And just a little snippet I'm going to cover this morning. I hope it excites you. We have a member at Harriman United Methodist Church, Dale Austin. I don't know if any of y'all know Dale. He's been in Roane County for years. But probably 2 or 3 years ago, a movie came out, Heaven is for Real. And during the part in our worship service, Dale, if we're in Harriman, sits right about halfway back, always against the wall. I mean, that's Dale's assigned seat. But Dale stood up and spoke in the middle of the service, and he had gone to see this movie, and Dale was so excited about the movie Heaven is for Real. And he probably talked about 5 minutes. He went on about what the movie was about. He encouraged everybody in our congregation to go see this movie. Dale Austin was excited about heaven. There is no doubt. Typically, though, it's wrong in the movies. Fog banks, floating spirits. Jesus tells us he has gone to prepare a place for us. Like hell, heaven is very tangible and it's very touchable. It's very real. It's as real as the grass in your yard right now, the fruit and vegetables that you had in your garden this summer. Heaven is for real. In fact, the garden that you have now might look the same in heaven. It's assumed that God is going to destroy the universe and relocate his children. But think about that for a second. Why would God do that? When God created the heavens and the earth, he applauded his work, and this is what he saw. God saw the light. He said, "It is good." He saw the sea. It is good. He saw the grass. It is good. The sun, the moon, everything that God created was perfect. So why would God destroy a perfect creation? Genesis 1:31 reads, when God saw everything he had made, indeed it was very good. Straight A's on the report card. If you bowl, he bowled a perfect game when he created this earth. If you're into baseball, a perfect no-hitter, a perfect game by a pitcher. It was one perfect strike, one after the other for the batter. So why would God destroy a work of art that he's created? God has never, ever denounced the earth, just our mistreatment of it. Also, God is not a God of extermination. He's the God of reclamation. He restores, he recovers, he renews, and we can expect him to do it again, to renew, reclaim every square inch of what is rightfully his. In Matthew 19:28, it reads, "In the recreation of the world, when the Son of Man will rule gloriously, you who have followed me will also rule." But what about the promises of destruction that you do read about in the Bible? Peter and John use atomic bomb terminology in 2 Peter 3:10. "But the day of the Lord will come as unexpectedly as a thief in the night. Then the heavens will pass away with a terrible noise, and everything in them will disappear in fire, and the earth and everything on it will be exposed to judgment." So you might be thinking, won't our planet be destroyed? The answer is yes, but destruction does not necessarily mean elimination or extermination. Our physical bodies are the proof. Our physical bodies will pass away, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. However, the one that created Adam out of a dirt pile will do so with us. Christ will reverse decomposition with resurrection. Hearts will beat again. Lungs will awaken. And after I'd read this book, and before I spoke it at Harriman United Methodist Church, the Sunday before, when I knew our minister was going to be out, I asked several people. I said, if you've not thought about heaven a lot, and if you just got questions on the way out of the church, give me your questions and give me a week to study on it, because I want to know the answers. I'm by no means an expert on heaven. So it's very interesting, and I'll touch on that in just a second. But hearts will beat again and lungs will awaken. 1 Corinthians 15:53, the mortal body will put on immortality. So the same is true about the earth. Paul says in Romans that the whole generations groan and suffer the pains of childbirth together until now. Like a mother in labor, nature looks forward to her delivery day. We see the pangs of birth for the earth in floods, in earthquakes, in volcanoes, and we contribute to them daily by polluting the sky and destroying the soil. God's creation right now struggles, but not forever. Apostle John in Revelation 21:1, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth." A new heaven and a new earth. We need to be aiming high. Now, I know this is, if you're a hunter, muzzle loading season. I'm not a big hunter, but trust me, where I live, all my neighbors are. They've been out sighting their rifles and everything else over the past 2 weeks. You don't want to aim high if you're a hunter. You want to be right on target. Well, as Christians, we want to be right on target, but we do want to aim high. That should be our eternal goal, to live eternally with Jesus. God will purge and clean the earth. His renewal of all things could be called appetizers of heaven. Think about what we experience every day here that are appetizers or renewals of heaven. We have golden sunsets. If you were out last night and you looked up and saw the sky, millions of stars that twinkled like diamonds. We have colorful rainbows that stretch across the sky. Think about that as appetizers of our earth being reborn. The new heaven and the new earth, they will be one. Well, what will it be like? The Bible tells us seven things that heaven will be like. Number one, heaven is going to be light and beauty beyond anything man can imagine or even comprehend. And that's hard for us to think about, or at least it is for me. Light and beauty beyond anything that we can imagine or comprehend. Think about if you ever had a mole in your backyard. A mole lives the entire life underground. Now, the mole is blind, but imagine if a mole was not blind. They live their entire life underground. And those brief moments, if a mole could see, think about if he were to pop his head up and just look around, especially in the fall in East Tennessee, the beauty that that mole would see. But he lives his entire life underground, never exposed to the beauty we have on earth. That's similar to us living on earth now. We have no idea about the beauty of heaven, what awaits each and every one of us. We think we do, but we cannot comprehend the beauty that awaits us. Number two, heaven will be a great enlargement of knowledge. Paul said in his reference to heaven, "For now we see through a dark glass. In heaven I shall know even as also I am known." Heaven will offer many answers to all of earth's puzzles. Number three, heaven will be a great place of rest. There'll be no more fear, no more anxieties, no more pain, no more sorrow, grief, stress, tears. We could go on and on. We will be able to rest from the earthly labors thanks to God's provision of heaven. Heaven's also going to be a place, number four, for service. Heaven will be a place for us to serve. We're not going to sit on a cloud and float. We're going to serve. Revelation states that they serve him day and night in the temple, and his servants shall serve him. Sure, there is going to be great singing. There's going to be great praising, but we will also have service to God. And think about that. The perfect boss from which we can never, ever, ever be fired. The perfect boss, that's even hard to comprehend, will never be fired. Number five, joy, joy, joy like we have never, ever known. Take away sin and all that remains is unending joy for every single moment of every day of eternity in heaven. Joy, joy, joy. Number six, heaven will be a place of stability or permanence. I never thought about this, but stability or permanence. There'll be no more moving from one house to another, no more being bumped, no more being replaced. On earth, we have no permanence. We think we do, but there is no permanence on earth. Sometimes we hesitate to take the advantage of beauty that we do encounter for fear we're going to lose it. An example, our church has a garden out at my mom's house. And I truly enjoy the beauty of fresh tomatoes in the summer. But it is a race to beat my brother out to that garden to get the fresh tomatoes. We won't have that in heaven. We'll have unending tomatoes, tomato sandwiches. So it's going to be a place of permanence. It's going to be a place so beautiful and perpetual, we can't comprehend it. It's just unbelievable. Enjoy it to its fullest. And finally, number seven, heaven will be a place to fellowship with Jesus Christ. We will meet Jesus Christ. We won't have to wear bracelets that say or have WWJD, what would Jesus do? We will be able to see Jesus. We're going to be able to walk with Jesus. We're going to be able to talk to Jesus. We're going to be able to learn from him every single day. That's hard for me to comprehend. However, nothing compares to God's crowning jewel, the New Jerusalem. Christ will descend in a city unlike any the earth has ever seen. Let me tell you a little bit about what New Jerusalem, what the Bible says the New Jerusalem is going to look like. Revelations chapter 21, 2. I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming. So what's it going to look like? Did a little study and they put it in terms that we can understand. And again, this is hard to comprehend. Revelations chapter 21 in verses 16 through 25. The New Jerusalem is going to be 1,400 miles in length, in width, and in height. The ground level alone will be almost 2 million square miles. Now, I know that's probably a whole lot easier for Terry to understand as the math specialist for the schools, but 2 million square miles. To put that so we can understand it, I sort of did some measuring. That goes from the Smoky Mountains all the way to California, from Canada to Mexico. New Jerusalem will be 40 times the size of England, 10 times the size of France or Germany, and that is just the ground floor. If you put it in terms that we know, 10 feet equal one story. Well, remember, it's going to be 1,400 miles also in height. In today's standards, or a skyscraper, that's a skyscraper that's over 600,000 stories tall. Hard for me to comprehend. But what's even great about that, there's going to be ample, A-M-P-L-E, plenty of space for people to come and go. There will be no night in the New Jerusalem, for the glory of the Lord is going to shine forever in New Jerusalem. And in the middle of the city, the throne of God in all of his glory. John's vision in Revelation revealed the river of the water of life as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and the Lamb right down the middle of the New Jerusalem, the greatest city we have ever known. The gates to this city will never be closed. Why even have gates? Because enemies of God will be banished. Their eyes will never set foot in New Jerusalem. It will be a place of perfection for perfect people. You will be at your best forever. Revelations 21, 27. Nothing impure will ever, ever enter the city. Think about God's promise, a sinless existence. How has Satan tempted you just this morning? Have you worried about a decision? I know I have. Have you envied somebody else's success? Have you dreaded having a conversation with somebody that you know is going to be tough? Have you resented somebody interrupting you in a conversation? Have you been impatient? How has Satan tempted you this morning? Think about it. We get to heaven, we will never, never have any of that. In heaven, there'll be no temptation, no reason to stumble. 1 John 2:17, the world, this world is passing away and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. So we are going to be at our best forever. You'll enjoy everyone at his or her best forever. There'll be no more bad moods, no complaints, bad apples that spoil good times, no gossip, no jealousy, no more having your work doubted, somebody questioning your motives, or evil spoken behind your back. What about, have you ever thought about heaven's dramatic reunions? I'm sure we've all lost loved ones. We're going to be reunited with families, with friends. But even think about this, a soldier embracing a sharpshooter who killed him, or a son or a daughter seeing an abusive but repentant parent in loving embrace. That's God's gift to us. If we repent, if we have Jesus in our heart, that is our reward. Revelations 21:4, God will wipe away every tear. There'll be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying, for the former things have passed away. No sins means no theft, no divorce, heartbreak, boredom. We will have responsibilities in heaven, though. In Genesis, God gave Adam and Eve the garden, responsibilities in the garden. Revelations reads that God's servants will certainly serve him. So who knows what our responsibilities would be? We might oversee planetary orbits. Terry might be leading a choir. We might be designing murals in the city, monitoring plants or animals. Isaiah 9:7, of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. And heaven is going to be certainly marked by increase. What does that mean? The Bible just says it's going to be marked by increase. Does that mean increased planets? Increased colors that we never imagined. Increased music. All of that, when you study the scriptures, seems very likely. Because what does a creator do but create? What do his happy children do but serve him? We might serve him in the capacity we serve now. Why couldn't earthly assignments that we have now be hints at what we might do in heaven? God filled his first garden with plants and animals, and you can take it to the bank. You can take it to the bank that he will surely do the same in heaven. That was one of the questions one of the members at Harriman asked me. He said, what about pets? And I wasn't real sure, so I went to Randy Alcorn's book, and he does not say, oh yeah, the Bible says there's going to be pets in heaven. But Randy, Reverend Alcorn's answer is, he said, think about it. God created our pets, and we talked about it up here this morning, our cats and our dogs, and he said they're a creation of God and they bring us joy. There's no reason to think our pets won't be in heaven. Just imagine it. Whatever your responsibility will be, you are going to love it. The Bible guarantees that. Never weary, selfish, or defeated, just unhindered. John 14:3, when everything is ready, I will come and get you so that you will always be with me where I am. So my question is this morning, are you aiming high? Are you ready for heaven? A cleric found himself wondering the same thing, wondering whether there were any golf courses in heaven. He even began to ask the question in his prayers on a daily basis. One day, in an answer to his prayers, he received the answer. Yes, said the heavenly messenger, there are many excellent golf courses in heaven. The greens are always the greenest. They're in first-class condition. The weather is perfect, and you always get to play with the nicest people. Oh, thank you, said the cleric. That is really great news. Yes, isn't it? The heavenly messenger replied, and we have you down for a foursome next Saturday. So, you know, we don't know. We don't know when our time on this earth is up. So I would think it is so important that we prepare ourselves, we prepare our hearts every day so that we do get to experience everything God has promised us. Get excited about heaven. As I told you earlier, I am certainly no expert, but it is enough to spark me to want to read and study more. Read the scriptures. Know what God has planned for all of us. And like the great hymn, when we all get to heaven, let us be true and faithful, trusting, serving every day. Just one glimpse of him in glory will the toils of life repay. Onward to the prize before us. Soon his beauty we'll behold. Soon the pearly gates will open, and we shall tread the streets of gold. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we will sing and shout victory. Amen. This time we have our ushers come forward for our tithes and our offering. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we ask that you open our hearts and our minds and that we give our gifts and our tithes freely so they may be used to spread your love around this world. In your name we pray. Amen. Be seated. Is Tommy here? I haven't seen Tommy. Okay. Announcements for our, and opportunities for service. How do you know? I don't see. I guess we don't have Tommy here, and we don't. Do we have announcements? I know they're printed in a bulletin. James, you want to?